You are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, which originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking. We're certainly thankful you are a part of our congregation today, and we invite you to stay with us, trusting the Lord will use us and our broadcast to be a blessing to you. We are opening our service with a male quartet singing for us, Where Could I Go But to the Lord?
Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation's sword, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go, oh, where could I go, seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me in the end? Where could I go but to the Lord? Neighbors are kind, I love them every one. We get along in sweet accord. But when my soul needs manna from above, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go, oh, where could I go, seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me in the end? Where could I go but to the Lord? Life here is grand, with friends I love so dear. Comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I face the chilling hand of death, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go, oh, where could I go, seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me in the end? Where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go but to the Lord?
The Lord has invited us to come to Him boldly, and we can bring our every burden and our every care, for He careth for us, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful that we do have the privilege of coming to you in the precious name of Jesus, knowing that your eyes are over the righteous and your ears are open unto our prayers. So we thank you for the privilege of prayer, and we bring our congregation to you today, for I know that you love each one, you see each one, and you know their need, and we're asking you to bless each one, help them according to those needs, for we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. We're continuing our service now with the choir singing for us, He Took My Life and Made It Whole.
When the blessed Savior came, taking all my fear and shame, He took my life,
He took my life
and made me whole,
and made me whole,
cleansing me from all my sin.
He put songs of God within,
and He put joy,
and He put joy within my soul,
within my soul. Yes, there is joy,
yes, there is joy
within my soul,
within my soul.
He makes a cloud,
He
Our subject for today's broadcast, Examples of Sacrifice. And I'm reading for scripture reading, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is sacrifice? There are different meanings to the word sacrifice. One, the act of killing an animal as an act of worship, as the Jews did so many years ago under the Old Testament. The Greek word is used 28 times in the New Testament, and they refer directly to the Old Testament and their type of worship 23 of those 28 times. Cruden's Concordance says, an offering of any sort to a deity with the idea of procuring favor or avoiding disaster. The idea of sacrifice is deeply rooted in the instincts of humanity, for it is found among every race of the earliest known period of its history. And that's the end of the quote from Cruden's Concordance. In the Old Testament, we read of a number of sacrifices: the burnt offering, the trespass offering. A ram was the only animal that could be used as a sacrifice in regard to the trespass offering, and the sin offering, and it dealt with the atonement in regard to God, and the Passover and unleavened bread, Feast of First Fruits and Pentecost, Feast of Trumpets and Feast of Tabernacles, seems to be dealing more with worship than of sacrifice. Nevertheless, they were holy seasons during the time of the Old Testament and the Hebrew people. Of course, what I have just given is not a complete list of all the holy days and holy seasons and all of the offerings. Now, another definition of sacrifice: an offering made to God, the act of giving up something that you want to keep, especially in order to get or do something else other to help someone. And that is a definition from Webster's dictionary. Now our text, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Under the new covenant, we don't bring an ox or a sheep or a goat. We bring ourselves to God and present ourselves to God a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice, but a living sacrifice. Jesus said, "Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple." So we read in Luke chapter 14 and verse 33, "There came one running to Jesus and kneeled to him, asking what he must do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus told him a number of things that he had to do in response to his question. And this young man said to Jesus, 'These have I observed from my youth.' Jesus then told him, 'One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever you have, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me.' And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." That's in Mark chapter 10, verses 20 or 17 through 22. Now, Jesus does not expect everyone to sell everything they have and give it, but this young man was told that by the Lord Jesus, because that's where his heart was. And if we're going to be a true disciple of Christ, we cannot put anything ahead of him. In another passage of Scripture, Jesus tells us that we must love him more than we love husband and wife, father and mother, brother, sister, yea, even our own life. If we do not love him more than them, then we cannot be his disciple. Yes, a man or a husband is to love his wife, and a wife is to love her husband, and parents are to love their children. The Bible teaches that very clearly. And if we are a child of God, we will. But the point is, Jesus must be first. We must put him ahead of all others, as he said in the Sermon on the Mount, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you." A living sacrifice means that you surrender all to the Lord. And remember, Paul said, "This is your reasonable service." There is nothing unreasonable about what God requires. God is the giver of every good and every perfect gift anyway. What do we have that we haven't received from God? "Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, nor even a shadow of turning." And Solomon the wise man wrote, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." So we should put the Lord first, and we must put the Lord first if we're going to be one of his disciples. Part of being a living sacrifice is our financial support of the gospel. Yes, the Word of God teaches us that we are to pay our tithes and to give our offerings. Malachi told the Israelites that they had robbed God in tithes and in offerings. Again, God gives us everything, and it's only reasonable. As one old brother said to me one time, "Brother Alvin, don't you think 10% is low rent or low to have to pay?" Yes, I do. But it isn't just the tithe that we owe God. We also owe Him offerings. Now, the tithe is to be brought into the storehouse, and that's where we get our soul food. The offering can be given to who and to whatever the Lord leads you to do. So being a living sacrifice is also giving of our tithes, or paying of our tithes, and giving of our offerings for the support of the gospel. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37. The young man that I just referred to gave his soul, lost his soul, as a matter of fact, because riches meant more to him than the Lord Jesus Christ meant to him. Now, the Philippian congregation, the church at Philippi, was a giving congregation, and it seems that they were the most faithful ones in their help and support of the Apostle Paul. For we read, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated unto me," and that is, sent him offerings or help, "as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessities." And that's Philippians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. As to the support of full-time gospel workers, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9 and 9, "Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn." Now, Paul got that from the Old Testament, that they used the oxen to stomp on the wheat or to tread it out, and they were entitled to be fed because they were doing the work of treading it out. So Paul said, "Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox," and in the New Testament, that would mean thou shalt support those who give themselves full time to the gospel of Christ. And there's another sacrifice that we need to give, and that is the sacrifice of praise. "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually," that is, "the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate," and again that word means to give, "forget not, for such sacrifice to God is well-pleasing in his sight." Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. Jesus has purchased our salvation with his own blood. Let us then by him offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, the fruit of our lips. On verse 16 of the passage of Scripture that I just read, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16, Clark says in his commentary, "No reliance even on the infinity meritorious sacrifice of Christ can be acceptable in the sight of God if a man have not love and charity toward his neighbor. Praise, prayer, and thanksgiving to God with works of charity and mercy to man are the sacrifices which every genuine follower of Christ must offer." And that's a quote from Clark's commentary. And we are told to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's the first and great commandment. And the second commandment is likened unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, as individuals, the church is made up of redeemed saints of God. Yes, the church is not a building. People talk about going to church. You don't go to church. If you're saved, you are the church. And we go to a house of worship. So the church is made up of redeemed saints of God. And Paul said, now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18. But now are they many members, yet but one body. I read recently that in the churches across the country, the statistics say that 80% of the work in a congregation is accomplished by 20% of the people. Well, I would like to think that the Church of God does better than that. For each and every member has a place to fill. They have a work to do. Some are called to preach the gospel. Some are called to teach. And some are called to do this, and some are called to do that. As I have just read, God places the members in the body as it pleases him. And he has a work for each and every one to do. And if we will fill our place, we can see the work of the Lord progress and go. If there is any saint in the congregation who thinks that they are unimportant, they need to reconsider. For again, each saint is important, and each saint adds to the body of Christ and to the work of the Lord. And every member is to be a living sacrifice. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, I want to read from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. In the first part of this chapter, we read about what great things that various ones did, Abraham and Moses and others, what they did, but they, not all of them did that, accomplish things in that fashion or in that manner. And I'd like to read here from the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and I would like to begin with verse 36. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in the dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. I read those verses because they too made sacrifices. They gave their very lives for the cause of Christ. They sacrificed themselves. And as far as I'm concerned, it took just as much or even more faith for them to do that than of the earlier ones that we read about in the first part of this chapter, chapter 11. Again, it speaks about Abraham and Moses and Noah and various ones, but it took consecration and it took faith for these that I have just read about. And they loved the Lord so much, they laid down their lives for Him. And isn't that what the Bible teaches? That we are to love the Lord even more than our own selves? Whatever is in that you are able to do, do it. Do it with the fervor. Do it with earnestness. Do it with sincerity. And it is a privilege to be a living sacrifice for the Lord. He came into this world and was a living sacrifice for us. Since Jesus gave His life for me, should I not give Him mine? That's part of a song we have in our hymn book here. And I say yes. Since Jesus gave His life for us, we should give our lives for Him. A living sacrifice. Heavenly Father, bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. We trust that the scriptures and thoughts have proven to be a blessing to our congregation. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We do thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. If it has been a blessing, it would be a blessing to us to know. And we invite you to write us. Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Now our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. Our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. You can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine there. You can hear another broadcast or if you've missed one or if you'd like to hear one over. We have an archive of our paper and also an archive of our broadcast. And we also invite you, if at all possible, to be with us in our services as they are broadcast live over the internet, www.wayoftruth.org. Our Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11. Our Sunday evening service begins at 6. And our Wednesday evening service begins at 7. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for being a part of our congregation today. And we invite you to tune in this station next week when again, the Lord willing, will come your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.
Oh, precious Bible, burning words from heaven, we'll ever cherish Thee in our heart. Sweet is the counsel by Thy pages given, on life's dark ocean our only chart. Blessed Bible, blessed Bible, joyful tidings from our home. Thou art the rock of everlasting ages, hope of eternal bliss at heaven's throne. Oh, precious volume, only in Thy pages we read the duty of all our race. Only Thy sunbeam shining through the ages reveal the wonders of saving grace. Blessed Bible, blessed Bible, joyful tidings from our home. Thou art the rock of everlasting ages, hope of eternal bliss at heaven's throne. this book of heaven shall endure forever, and from its wisdom will never turn. Weighed in its balance, all the creeds that's ever are only stubble ere long to burn. Blessed Bible, blessed Bible, joyful tidings from our home. Thou art the rock of everlasting ages, hope of eternal bliss at heaven's throne. Dear book of mercy, on thy sure foundation, we build a dwelling place for the soul. Hearing and doing all thy revelation, it stands unshaken, the billows roll. Blessed Bible, blessed Bible, joyful tidings from our home. Thou art the rock of everlasting ages, hope of eternal bliss at heaven's